Doom Patrol, Negative Man, Elastigirl, Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Calder. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello, and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the world's greatest Doom Patrol-related podcast, where every episode we talk about the world's strangest superheroes and our favorite all-time team, the mighty Doom Patrol.
Hi, you can find me on Twitter as reading underscore Hicks, but people call me Paul into my face and into microphones and things. If you want to send us an email, there's waitingfordoom@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, and we have a website which we don't own, but it's run by a very good friend of ours called Doug, called mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com, and that has companion pieces for this show. Mm-hmm. And every episode we've done is available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and podbean.com.
Hooray! Yes, hello, I'm Mike. You can find me on Twitter at avantgarve. You can also find on Twitter our lovely sentient show account, Wilfred.
Hello, humans.
Who is at WFDpod. And as always, we are proudly brought to you by comicosity.com.
Yes, and that is the website for comics. And I've been looking at the site, and there's a series of articles called 52 and 52. And basically, that is a writer called Mexi Grimillion, which is a fantastic name. She picks a graphic novel every week and reads it and then writes about it. So she's written about one called The God's Lie, which looks like a manga.
Ooh, okay.
So I'd never heard of that. It looks really interesting. Good art. But I always enjoy her articles every week because they're always something surprising.
Cool. Good way to find more comics to love. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike, how was your week in comics and stuff?
Lots of stuff going on. I took part in the world's greatest shave last Friday. So I currently have a very sporting one gauge across my noggin. And a big thank you to everyone that contributed and donated towards that. I managed to raise $550 in the end. So
that's awesome.
That's great. Thanks very much to those who contributed. It's really appreciated, and it's for a great cause. So that was a big one for last week. I finished off the Cluster Trade, which was written by Ed Brisson, with art by Damian Cusiero. Apologies if I've mispronounced that. Colors by Cassie Kelly and Michael Garland, and that's the sci-fi prison planet sort of thing, where the prisoners get drafted unwittingly. They know they're happening, but it's kind of, you know, against their will. They get drafted into fighting the armed forces on an alien planet and wipe out indigenous species. So that had quite a satisfying ending. I did enjoy that. What I'm currently reading at the moment is the Wonder Woman War of the Gods trade.
Oh, that's a rough one.
Yes, by George Perez, Jill Thompson, Cynthia Martin, Russell Braun, Romeo Tanghall, whole cast of other people. And yeah, I'm about halfway through it. And yeah, it's interesting.
It's rough. I reread it this year too.
Yeah, well, I'd never read it before, so and I love my DC events, and you know, I've had it in the reading pile for a while. I'll finally get to it. I'm about halfway through, and yeah, it's there's a lot going on, and yeah,
and none of it is interesting.
Some of the cameos are interesting, like Cave Carson makes an appearance.
Yeah, I noted that.
So that was cool. I got introduced to Silver Swan, who I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
So I did a bit of wiki research on her, and well, isn't she interesting? So unfortunately, as happens with some of these events in trades, it doesn't. You're kind of left wondering about things that happened before the story took place.
Yeah.
Like a character will say something, it'll have the little asterisk there, but editorial will have removed the call out box saying what issue it's referring to. So it's kind of like, okay, I get why they did that, so they could focus on the story that you're reading, but you know, a little bit more context would be nice. So it's I'm not hating it, but yeah, I'm not like in any real rush to finish it.
It's not super satisfying. It's not super cohesive. But I think the very best part of War of the Gods is the Suicide Squad tie-in issue.
Okay.
That is a good one. That's issue 58, and it has a version of Grant Morrison getting killed in it. So,
right. Well, there you go. So yeah. The next one I'm up to is in the book is Wonder Woman 60 that has Lobo in it. So that'll be interesting. So,
yes.
Yeah. So on that, nothing current that I'm diving into. I went to a comic swap meet and sold off a bunch of stuff over the weekend as well. So it was good to clear some space and make some moolah. But yeah, other than that, it's same old, same old. What's been happening with you, Paul?
I went to Goulburn Comic Con and sold a few things there. My daughter has a table there. She was selling her art and she did very well.
Excellent.
But yeah, no, I sold enough stuff to order some new stuff.
The circle of life.
Yeah, I think I made about $92 and I spent about $104. So...
Yeah, I was quite fortunate that I was still setting up my table and other sellers were walking in the door and they saw stuff I had and I made like $50 before I'd even finished setting up. So
wow.
My only splurge was Detective Comics Annual 11, I think it is, the Armageddon 2001 tie-in.
So yes.
I felt a bit bad about spending money that I was trying to make. So.
Yeah. And you always want to avoid like spending money on food at these things as well.
It's
super pricey. Yes. But yeah, I Ryan K. Lindsay, the Australian writer from Canberra, he was there and I had a good chat with him. He's he was picked up in the DC talent search in the last round. And yeah, he had some good stories and we talked a little bit about stuff and Daredevil and freaked out about how old we are. Well, that was me, actually. He's younger than me.
Right.
And I bought some of his stuff, which I'm reading. He does a sort of a noir procedural thing called Dear Editor, and Dear is spelled D-E-E-R. And that's, and it's like a detective story, and the main character is a deer.
Right. Oh, it makes sense then.
Or a stag, technically.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And they're very fun.
Cool.
And I got a comic which had a one page of the Doom Patrol in it, which was very exciting. The one that I didn't own.
Ooh, fancy.
That's what I saw. Is that the one? Because I knew there was one that I didn't have. And I was like, yes, it is. Sweet.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool.
And all the other stuff, is stuff I bought online after selling other stuff.
Oof. That's how it goes.
Yeah. In and out.
That's all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I think it might be time for us to go down on Derrington Way.
Let's do it.
Alrighty, there is very little to report on going down on Derrington Way this week, but, I mean, it is a Doom Patrol issue from Volume 6 this week, so it's like the whole show is going down on Derrington Way, if you will. But one thing I think we will note is Issue 6... the issue 6 drift, as we call it, it is now coming out on the 19th of April, so it's pushed, slipped another week. And that doesn't seem too bad because we've got issue 5 this week, so this means it's 4 weeks. But when you consider that issue 5 in the original solicitation was meant to be out on the 11th of January and issue 6 was meant to be out on the February 22nd, it's not a good look. But anyway,
it doesn't help their cause.
It doesn't help. You know. I want them to get back on track. Like at the moment, 7 hasn't moved an inch. So 7 is coming out on April 26th. So if that is still the case, that's 2 consecutive weeks of Doom Patrol.
I would love that, but as to whether that will actually happen,
it's unlikely. Anyway. Yes, we're singing in talking in sing-song voice, which isn't a good sign at this point, is it?
We've only just started too.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm happy. It's a Doom Patrol day. Yeah, and it was good.
Yeah.
Anyway, other than that, what can we say?
They're still working on the book. We've got up to issue 9 solicited so far, so you know.
Yes, the solicitation for Doom Patrol number 9, which is due out at the end of June 2017. Anyway, and this one is called Doom Patrol number 9, as we said, number 9. number 9. It's written by Jared Way. Art and cover by Nick Derrington. A variant cover by Kyle Smart. And here is the solicitation text. The secret of Terry Nunn. Maybe. The return of old enemies, usually. Casey eats shit. Again? Strange babies. Possibly. Ungrateful cats. Predictably. Robot Man punches stuff, of course. Negative Man goes dark, potentially. New life and anti-life, because all of this and none of it happens as reality begins to transform for the Doom Patrol. The stage is being set for the stage to be reset, and you're not going to want to miss the ambulance or you'll never get to the theater on time.
Nice.
That's quite a bit of text, isn't it?
It is. It is.
It's got some flair to it. Mm. Anyway, so it's coming out June 28th. It's 32 pages, full color, $3.99, US comic, and it's for mature readers.
Can we read it though, Paul?
we just do anyway. And it does have an interesting cover of Lucius Reynolds, Sam, the ambulance driver's son. The EMT, he's not the driver. Mm. And he appears to be holding something that glows a bit red.
Maybe that's the shit stuff. Although it can't be called that, surely.
No, I don't think it glows.
Mine doesn't anyways.
I hope to never verify that, Mike.
Yeah, I'll keep the one to myself.
Yes. Anyway, let's hear some ticking quick.
Look, over there behind you, the Doom Clock. Ah.
Oh, so unexpected.
Mm. So as we gaze upon the face of the mighty Doom Clock, it's telling us that the last time we had a Doom Patrol book was today. Huzzah!
Ta-da!
Finally! Celebrate good times indeed. So yes, it's been 0 weeks since the last Doom Patrol book. As Paul mentioned just before, the next issue, number 6, is due out April 19th of 2017, so only 4 weeks away. That's not too bad. If they can get back on track with that, you know, from that point, I'll be happy.
More power to them.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It's been, I do think it's been worth the wait, though. The wait. Now, without giving too much away, I think this issue kind of does have the latest appearance of the Patrol as a team. Given what's happened. Kind of, sort of.
I'm not sure if it's the whole Patrol.
Yeah, I don't think it's the whole Patrol, so I'm sort of on the fence with it.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it was a year and 32 weeks ago. In two different comics that came out the same week, they were All-Star Section 8, number 3, and Justice League United, number 12. So, yeah, I'm kind of on the fence with this issue. It has to be issue 6.
Well, proportionally, it's got more of the Patrol than has ever been in this run.
Yes.
And proportionally, the Doom Patrol is potentially really large in this run. I mean, it's probably the biggest roster of the team ever, I would say. There seems to be, what, about 9 or 10 Doom Patrollers now?
Potentially, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's a step in the right direction, at least.
Yeah.
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 And this week in Doom Patrol history, going on sale for a mere 12 cents on March 21st of 1968... with the cover date of May-June of that year, was Doom Patrol 119 from Volume 1 by Arnold Drake and Bruno Premiani. This issue was titled In the Shadow of the Great Guru and saw the team fall prey to the mind games of the Great Guru, Yaramishi Rama Yogi. I was worried I was going to mess that up.
Wow.
And yeah, we covered this issue not too long ago in episode 79 from December of 2016, so you can go and check that out for more.
Yeah.
And that's it for the Doom Clock this week.
You know what's special about that issue?
What's that?
It's 4 days older than me.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
That is pretty special.
Just gonna make old.
I should update my calendar. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
Hello, listeners. It's your friend, PJ Frightful. That's PJ, as in podcast jockey. And I'm dropping dreadful new episodes every 2 weeks. When the clock strikes midnight, the podcasting hour shines a candle on the dark corners of DC Comics. Those supernatural sagas of Swamp Thing, Dead Man, The Spectre, and more. The Podcasting Hour. It's a rotating anthology series boasting the terrifying talents of Ryan Daly, Rob Kelly, Paul Hicks, Ben Avery, Doug Zavisha, and other unfortunate souls. Prepare for the unexpected, open a doorway to nightmare, and enter the houses of mystery and secrets. The moon is full, and the dark spirits are rising, for it's midnight, the podcasting hour. Coming this Halloween, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Beware.
Okay, so the moment everyone's been waiting for, us talking about the latest issue of the brand new volume of Doom Patrol, issue 5 of volume 6, which is titled Let's Go Fast, part 5 of Brick by Brick. It's written by Gerard Way, art and cover by Nick Derrington, Tamara Bonvillain on the colours, Todd Klein on letters, and edits by Molly Mahan and Jamie S. Rich. And just to catch everyone up, if you haven't yet, you can catch up on the previous issues, the first four of this latest run, by listening to episodes 71, 74, 77, and 83.
That's a really random bunch of numbers.
The first two are fine because they're kind of close together. The last two, well, yes. And bingo to anyone that had those numbers. But anyway, previously in the Doom Patrol, paramedic Sam Reynolds had an argument with his son Lucius. Meanwhile, in the negative space, Cliff Steele, aka Robot Man, watched Larry Trainer, aka Negative Man, begin the ritual to rejoin with the negative spirit. While out in space, Casey Brink, aka Space Case, along with former Oolong Island employee Ricardo and the cute little creature known as Fug, escaped imprisonment and rescued Danny the Ambulance from Mobile Slaughter Unit X-19. While the villains Torminox, aka Casey's evil dad, Doodlebug, aka Casey's evil-looking doppelganger, and the Vectra, aka Crystalline Henchman and not the car, watched their escape and prepared something called the Synthetic. Synthetic what?
Don't know.
We'll soon find out. So we open this issue with Casey loudly honking the horn of the Dambulance, urging her partner Sam into the back, and that he needs to get to Danny's cabaret. Sam is greeted by Ricardo and Fug, and despite his questions as to what the heck is going on, Danny tries to calm him, and as Ricardo says the magic words, Bona Tavada, the three of them vanish with a loud pop. In the negative space, the process of joining Larry and Keeg, the negative spirit, is now complete. As the spiritual leader Nahal congratulates him, the other assembled negative spirits fly up and out through an opening in the ceiling, and coloured streamers float down in celebration. A celebration which is quickly cut short as the Dambulance suddenly bursts through a portal and screeches to a halt. Casey urges them to get in, and Danny opens his back doors and says he's thrilled to see Larry and Cliff again. Cliff is shocked to hear Danny's voice, and Danny replies that yes, it's him, Danny, formerly the Street, the World, the Brick, and the Cabana, but now a freewheeling ambulance. As they climb in, Ricardo radios in from Dannyland, telling Casey that Flex Mentallo is dead. And though Dannyland is burning and in ruins, he, Sam, and Fug are administering first aid to what few survivors they can find. Once again, Cliff is shocked to hear the mention of another old friend, and that this friend is now dead. Casey tries to bring Cliff and Larry up to speed. There are these bad dudes called the Vectra. They captured Danny and tortured him into producing more people so they could grind them into fast food. Danny can do that now because some serious shit went down and he's some kind of god, but not the omnipotent kind that can reverse time and make it so that never happened. That's where I come in. And who are you? Asked Cliff. My name is Casey Brink, and I drive the motherfucking ambulance. With that and a screech of tires, the Dambulance roars off into the past, back to Mobile Slaughter Unit X-19. Meanwhile, on Earth, we see the entrance to a punk club called Rash. We see Lucius Reynolds skating past it one way, and someone dressed as an astronaut walking past in the other direction. This astronaut turns down an alley, and they manage to find Lotion the Cat. The astronaut pours a strange powdered substance from a box, offering it to Lotion, and the cat begins to munch on it. As the astronaut walks out of the alley into the night, Lotion suddenly begins to transform from mere cat to some kind of humanoid cat figure.
Where putty?
Kind of throws, well, my theory about where putty out the window.
Yeah. Anyway, mm-hmm.
Back in space, the Dambulance bursts through another portal into the interior of Mobile Slaughter Unit X-19, knocking over Vector Warriors. Our heroes have arrived to find themselves, however, surrounded by their enemies. And as they get out of Danny, they notice the Dambulance of the past, along with a third ambulance. Although it's pale white, and the only feature of it is the word ambulance written in large black letters. Casey wonders how the Vector knew they were coming, and Tormanox steps forward. Because of me, yes, dear old dad from the pages of Danny Comics. Before you rescued Danny, we tortured so much meat out of him that we broke him, and that's when he produced me. And once I was free, there was no stopping me as to what I could create, like this synthetic version of Danny the Ambulance. Casey
That's the synthetic.
That's also very hard for me to say, apparently. Casey asks Tormanox how he met them in the past, because Danny can only time travel with Casey driving. And this is when Doodlebug steps forward, and she explains that Tormanox used Danny to create another better version of Casey. However, it's one comprised of every bad feeling and fear that Danny had about what Casey would become in the real world if she was unprotected. Cliff decides to break the tension, however, by yelling, "Screw this!" and he punches Tormanox in the face. Larry releases the negative spirit and a massive fight breaks out. But Danny's come up with a plan and tells Casey that to put a stop to all this madness, she needs to go into the past version of Dannyland and burn down the comic shop, destroying her dad, her double, and the Vectra. Not the car. Despite her reservations, Casey runs off into the second ambulance. And as the fight rages on, we have a brief interlude focusing on the sleeping form of Larry Traynor, and we are shown his innermost parallel lifetime. We see him in a hospital bed, joined by whom we can only assume are his wife and daughters. And they're all reminiscing about a funny boating mishap, and what a treasure, what a gift their lives together have been. A nurse enters the room, interrupting them by saying that Larry has a visitor. And we see Niles Calder wheeling himself into the room, saying he'd like to talk with Larry about something called the Doom Patrol. Right. Back in reality, the past, whatever, Tormanox is gaining the upper hand against Cliff and beating him to scrap metal, monologuing that Cliff is an empty, soulless machine. As the villain begins to crush our hero's head under his boot, Cliff suddenly grabs the boot and says, "I'd rather be empty than completely full of shit." That's classic Cliff. Before launching Tormanox into the air, where the negative spirit smashes into him, knocking him back through a wall. As Cliff begins to get up from the floor, Doodlebug calls out to him, "Hey, Tin Man, I bet if I kill this guy, that electrical pain in the ass goes away." And she's holding a Vectra gun against Larry's head. Tormanox stomps back into the room, congratulating her, when he's interrupted by another voice that says, "I see the divorce has been causing you some distress." And we're shown that under great strain, Danny has managed to bring into reality Gloria, Tormanox's former wife, and Casey's mum. Jeez. Meanwhile, in the past Dannyland, Sam, Fug, and Ricardo have begun to evacuate the residents into present Dannyland, and they stopped to help revive a still-living yet knocked-out Flex Mantello. It's here that we learn that Ricardo was a masseuse on Oolong Island, apparently the best in the land, and with skills that some would call magic. With a handful of magic goop from Fug's cassette opening, he begins massaging Flex back to life. And we also see Casey pouring kerosene around the inside of the comic shop, with Danny apologising to her for the mess that's been happening and admitting to her that he doesn't see her the way that Doodlebug appears. He's just afraid for her because he loves her so much. Casey says that she knows this and tells him that while the good things in life fill our hearts, it's the bad things and how we handle them that really make us who we are. That's why she'll keep choosing love. And with that, she strikes a match and runs out of the burning building. Back in the meat grinding room, Gloria and Tormanox are about to make amends for their terrible past, as she implies that she has the cure for the Tormanox virus that's infecting him, when suddenly she's shot in the back by Doodlebug. But that weapon suddenly shatters in her hand thanks to the sudden appearance of the pulsing bicep of Flex Mantello. Hooray! He's knocked the Vectra back with his Hero of the Beach halo, and Casey sees her parents huddled on the floor. Gloria tells Casey that she's so proud of her daughter, but that they realize Casey doesn't need them anymore, and they'll always be watching her from a distance. Her parents kiss, and they vanish in a flash of light. We end this issue with a scene showing us a woman sitting in a darkened room wearing a tracksuit with a puzzle piece logo on it. She's talking with another person who we can't see, and she admits that she wishes her husband and son could see her at the big event tomorrow, when she will become one with the divine component. The other person asks her for her name, and she replies, Valerie Reynolds. The other person then asks, what will your name be tomorrow, though? Jane. My name will be Jane. That's right, dear. Tomorrow we will all be Jane, says the other person, who was revealed to be none other than Crazy Jane, wearing a matching tracksuit, floating in midair before a bomb marked with the word Grandma. And that's where we get told it's to be continued. And oh my God!
What the hell?
What the hell? All right, Paul, what are your thoughts on issue 5?
I have had very little absorbing time for this one. So a few impressions. At the start where Larry is transforming and sort of before he is clothed in the holy bandages, the sacred bandages, I like that he looks a bit like a boneless chicken. Like he's all floppy.
Yes.
That amused me greatly. Yes, but there's some talk of the previous fragments within what I took to be Rebus, and perhaps so I took this as a continuity reference, a sort of not overt one, but a nice subtle one to like Val Vostok, who was Negative Woman, and Eleanor Poole, who formed Rebus with Larry Trainer.
Yes,
but this is something new. But I love that. They clothe him in sort of classic Doom Patrol gear. So he's got like his jumpsuit with the purple and white and then, you know, purple boots. And then he has the sunglasses like Rebus. So it's sort of like a best of.
Yes, yes.
For Negative Man. I very much like that. Yeah. And I think it's cool that these aliens have streamers.
That was a nice touch, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it sort of gives Larry a new vague purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he's meant to be out there being a hero.
Yeah.
But one of the things that really shocked me, which is I didn't pick up from the previous issue, was when Danny was being harvested for meat, I just thought they were taking pieces of Danny. I didn't realize that he was producing humans and they were grinding them up.
Mm.
That didn't come through to me till this issue. That's messed up.
A little bit, yeah.
Somewhat. Yeah. But yeah, how exciting to see Casey and Cliff and Larry all together, and then they go and get Sam at the start.
Yeah.
Do you think Sam's part of the Doom Patrol, or is he like auxiliary Doom Patrol member?
I think he's almost like a modern equivalent to Joshua. I think he's going to be like the team medic.
Right.
Yeah. So kind of auxiliary, kind of, you know, he's clearly in on the madness that's enveloping them all. But he seems to lay back about it all.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is his first time seeing Fug, and he's like, whatever.
He's like, yeah, I just let the universe take me where it needs me, you know? And that's so laid back. So, yeah. I think he'll be... he might not go on a lot of adventures with them, but I think he'll be in, like, wherever their HQ ends up being, and he'll be, like, the team medic, you know? So
yeah.
Hopefully he lasts longer than Josh does. I'm a bit surprised with what happens with Lotion.
Yeah.
And I have no idea who the person in the astronaut suit will be.
Yeah, he has very... on the faceplate.
Yes, yes. I have no idea what that's about. And no idea what the stuff is meant to be that triggers the transformation. But yeah, I always thought that somehow Lucius's, you know, magic leanings with the, you know, the ritual he was doing in his room, I thought that was going to somehow link up with Lotion, but I guess not.
You know? Well, in a lot of the promotional art, we've seen Lotion is dressed like Lucius too.
Yeah.
So
who knows? It's a
mystery.
Yes.
But just a swerve, or that was just promotional art when they were sort of developing things?
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? But yeah, it's very action-packed, this issue. There's a hell of a lot going on.
Yeah.
And
I really like designer Tormenox. He's a big, strong-looking dude.
And I like the fact that apparently that's due to some virus he's got in him.
Yeah.
That you know, ordinarily he would be, you know, Dick Brink, you know, husband to Gloria and father to Casey, but he's been completely altered thanks to this Tormenox virus.
Yeah, so. I think from the Who's Who page, I think he was Science Dad, was his
Science Dad. Coach. That's right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So the interlude with Larry, that was interesting. I can't recall in any of Larry's previous stories through any of the editions him ever having a wife and kids.
No. But, I mean, this was sort of promised to him in the last issue that he would have lifetimes of to experience.
This is true.
In so. Dreams. And but somehow the chief is there, and it seems to be the real chief somehow.
Yeah.
I love that. He's like a Jehovah's Witness. I'd like to talk to you today about something called the Doom Patrol. Would you let him in the door? I don't know.
I don't know. Depends on what sort of action chair he was in, you know. If you refused him, he might just shoot your door down. But anyway. Yeah, so it's I did enjoy this issue. There's a lot going on, but it starts to bring stuff together. You know? And the reveal of Jane at the very end.
Yeah.
It's like it was nice to see Valerie make an appearance. And what a coincidence, the cult that she has joined is being led by Jane.
Yeah, and you know it's a cult because they're wearing tracksuits.
With a puzzle piece logo, which makes sense if the followers of this cult are all going to be merged together to become Jane.
Yeah, is Jane absorbing personalities now, or integrating real people's personalities?
Which makes me wonder if she's kind of going to start out as a bad guy.
Yeah, but, I mean, Jane looks very serene.
Mm.
Bit spaced out, but serene.
A little bit. Yeah. And the bomb with Grandma written on it, we saw that in, like, one panel in the very first issue.
The first page.
Yes, as it was being dropped from the launch bay of whatever plane it was in. So is that how they're going to merge the people together? Drop the bomb and it'll somehow fuse her followers together. And that's what I love about it. It kind of wraps up one thing and leaves us with more questions about Lucian and now Jane.
Yeah. So, what's your art highlight for this issue?
My art highlight, probably the fight between Tormenox and Cliff. I mean, the entire issue is great. There's not a bad panel in it. But just that scene there where, in typical Cliff fashion, he's getting the snot beaten out of him. But what do you know? He's got a witty comeback and he flips the table, so to speak, except he's flipping Tormenox up into the air and just in time for the negative spirit to slam into him. I love that sequence there. That was great.
Yeah, I mean, I think my favourite one is the bottom panel of page 13, which is where Cliff decides he's had enough of all the talking. Like, everyone's standing around pointing fingers at each other with arms crossed, and then Cliff says, "Screw this," and just punches Tormenox. But in the background, there's an awesome shot of Larry unleashing the negative energy out of his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks fantastic. It looks like he's got a bazooka in his chest.
Yes, and I love how in that same panel, Casey's on the left and Doodlebug's on the right, and they've kind of got the exact same stance as they're both sort of taken aback by the sudden turn of events.
Both stunned.
Yeah.
Yeah, but great colouring by Tamara Bonville and having you can see the negative energy blasting behind Cliff and Tormenox, and you can see it sort of zooming around, gives you such a, you're able to track it, and it's...
Yeah,
I like the yellow outline that she does around the negative energy now.
It looks
so energetic.
and I love the colours in the scene where Danny is creating Gloria, and you see
this multicoloured sort of cloud. Smoke.
Yeah, yeah. And the next thing, you know, Gloria's standing there in this sort of sparkly, multicolored cloud. And that looks great there too. Yeah.
Yeah. And the color work is really good differentiating the different scenes. Like when you flash to Danny World inside, it's all sort of brownies. And then the hospital is all sort of in green hues.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all very different from location to location.
Yeah, yeah, it stands out great. Yeah, there's nothing I can fault with this book, as biased as that sounds, other than the delays.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think in my head, the mental indicator of the Doom Patrol being back together would be Chief rejoining.
Yeah, that's...
And I don't think this happens yet, no.
Well, no. It's well, I'm hoping it'll happen by issue 6, because that's the end of the first arc.
Yeah.
So he'll probably turn up in like the very last page or something.
Yeah, I did enjoy that she set fire to the comic shop with Danny the Matches. What was it, Danny the Kerosene or Danny the Petrol? It doesn't say.
No, it doesn't. No, but it's definitely Danny the Matches, yeah.
Yeah.
And again, that was a really nice scene there, sort of summing up Casey's, you know, personal beliefs really well.
The scene where it all catches fire and it sort of, you know, looks like a regular shop, but as soon as it lights fire, it's all flesh.
Mm.
Yeah, that's really gross.
Yet so well done. Yeah.
So well done, yeah. Mm. Yeah, but that was moving.
Yeah, it was a nice, quiet little scene. Book ended by complete chaos on either end.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's good to see Flex Mantello flexing.
Yep. Hero of the Beach. Back in action.
Yes, haven't seen that for a while.
No, no.
Mm.
And Ricardo being a masseuse. Interesting. Yeah. But now I want to go back and look through Volume 5 to see if I can find Ricardo.
Yes.
And see if
was there a masseuse? There was definitely a cabana.
Yes. Danny the Cabana was definitely there. But I'm really curious as to whether there was even like a tiny, you know, one panel thing showing some Oolong Island employee giving someone a massage, and whether Gerard Way took that one shot and went, I'm going to create a whole character out of that. Or whether he's a brand new creation altogether. So,
yeah.
Are we digging that out this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, we get a little bit of Brandon Bird Bane colouring back up.
Yes.
Looks like Executive Bane in this one.
Mm. Democracy begins with you, the people.
Well done.
Thanks. Yeah, those are interesting pages at Bane Colouring Corner. but a mad little touch that does fit well in this book. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we've done something that well. It's just a shame that we've got to wait. I want issue 6 right now. Okay.
Yes.
If all had gone according to plan, we would have had it by now. But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, life is what happens while you're making other plans. Or something.
Yeah. Okay. Any final thoughts, or have we doomsplained the heck out of that?
Should we talk about covers?
Okay, let's.
There are covers on this comic.
The end. Thank goodness.
No. This issue has a very fetching, impassive looking Cliff Steele's head in close up. It's very, very nicely done.
I'm surprised that that hasn't been marketed yet as some sort of cutout thing, so we could all have a Robot Man mask.
You could walk around with the comic in front of your face.
I could.
Probably walk into things, but...
Possibly, yes.
Possibly. And then the alternate cover is the Farrell Dalrymple one. And that's a lot of fun. It's got a whole bunch of things going on.
Well, it's got the whole crew there.
Yeah.
Kind of leaping into action. It's even got a fly being highlighted as it buzzes
and
in.
And a gyro coming out of the wall. And there's I like that there's Fug in the top corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very cool cover.
Yeah. It's got a very organic, dynamic look about it.
Hmm.
Is that Terry Nunn on top of the chimney?
Let me have a look.
Just next to the eye, under the eye.
I would say that that probably is.
Hmm. Yeah, there's no Terry Nunn in this comic. We haven't seen Terry Nunn for a little while now.
No, no. I half wondered if she was in the astronaut outfit.
Yeah, you think?
Maybe.
Maybe.
But hell, every other guess I've made about this comic's been wrong. Okay, I was wrong about I was wrong about Casey's mother.
Yeah.
I was completely wrong. I'm most likely wrong about Lotion and Lucius.
Yeah, well, I was wrong about that too. I'll be wrong with you right there.
Thanks, mate. Thanks. So who knows? It's just another mystery waiting to be solved.
Yeah. Which I love. Like, how do Larry's sunglasses stay on? That's a mystery.
I know how.
How?
Comic book science.
Hey!
Hey!
The circle of life.
Cool.
Cool.
Alrighty.
All right.
How about we go check out the Mailbag of Doom?
Mailbag of Doom. And now it's that time of the show that we call the Mailbag of Doom, where we focus on the messages and emails and tweets and things that we have received. And we'll start with a visitor post, which happened on the Facebook. And we have from David Ennis, and he said, I just saw this photo of my hometown. It reminded me of the original Doom Patrol headquarters. And it's a photo of a very classic-looking building wedged between some very modern-looking buildings. Mm-hmm. And it's very reminiscent of the Doom Patrol headquarters.
It's so cool.
From Midway City, from the classic Volume 1 run.
Yes.
So head on over to our Facebook if you want to check that out.
Yes, thanks, David, for sharing that. That's a very cool pick, yeah.
And we also got an email from Doug Savisha.
Dougie!
The webmaster of My Greatest Adventure, 80.blogspot.com, the finest Doom Patrol website in the world. In the multiverse.
Wow!
In all of time and space.
Ooh.
Am I overselling it? No, I'm not. It's worthy. Anyway, he said, Paul and Mike and Paul, I figured it was high time to send off an email your way, so here it is. Enjoy it. Seriously, gents, my answer to the question of the week, so this is our, what is your favorite fictional vehicle? That was the question that we asked everyone. Mm-hmm. He said, is my Corvette. Never had one, never will, but dang, I'd sure like one. Like a Corvette summer.
Oh.
Mm. Anyway, to give a comic-based answer, I will say the Zoo Cruiser, but it's just a weird van with rockets. And while I'm eliminating vans, safe to remove the Mystery Machine from the running, which leaves me with the Avengers Quinjet. It's the A-Wing of the comic book. Wait a minute. A-Wing, Star Wars, the Millennium Falcon. Final answer.
Yeah, you got there in the end, Doug. Good work.
We're just riding this stream of consciousness with him. Anyway, as always, thanks, guys. I always enjoy knowing there's a new episode or seven of Waiting in for Doom in between each issue. Be good, Doug Z.
Nice.
Nice.
Tidy. And then over on the Twitter page, we heard, first of all, from Will Fish, at Will Fish, and he responded with the TARDIS. That'd be cool to have.
He acronymed it.
Sorry, the TARDIS, which stands for time and relative dimensions in space.
Relative dimensions in space. Nerds. I'm the biggest nerd.
Will also gave an honorable mention to the light cycle from Tron, James Bond's Aston Martin DB5, the Batmobile, Blue Thunder, and Wheeljack, the Autobot.
Oh, the Aston Martin DB5. I had a dinky toy of that when I was a kid, and I lost it, and it's the saddest toy that I ever lost.
Oh, my God. Wow.
It was awesome. It had little rotating spikes that came out of the tires. It had the number plates changed. It had the bulletproof seat shield at the back, and it had the ejector seat.
I know the one you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it at a con the other day, last year, and it was like $300. But, yeah, very cool toy. Very cool toy. Blue Thunder. Blue Thunder's probably fairly not current now. It's not very modern.
Is that the helicopter or am I thinking of Airwolf?
Yeah, no, it is the helicopter. There was the movie with
Oh, right, yes. Shredder.
Yeah. And I remember once, because someone got Blue Thunder for our fellowship group to watch when all these teenage kids are there, and, you know, 13-year-olds, and the person had completely forgotten about them hovering over the naked woman doing aerobics. Awkward.
Whoopsie. If we're taking pics from Will's answers, I'd have to say the light cycle from Tron. Oh, my God, I love that thing.
It's yeah.
So cool. I remember... do you remember those pool toys, which were kind of like weighted plastic sticks that you would throw in the pool and the kids would dive down and pick it up, and they'd have like points marked on them? We had a set of those, and my brother and I used to pretend that they were the handles of the light cycle. We'd run around the backyard trying to cut each other off.
Wow.
Good times. Good times.
Yeah.
Anyway, who else did we hear from, Paul?
We heard from the master of Frack Fu, who's at Fractures. And,
oh, how many answers has he sent?
Yeah, he squeezed in a few.
Right.
But he said the Batmobile, the Millennium Falcon, the Batmobile, Serenity, the Batmobile, Slave One, the Batmobile, Ghost Rider Bike, the Ketch version, right. The Batmobile.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good choice. Fairly big one, big choices mostly. Serenity and Slave One and Millennium Falcon, all fairly large.
I think he's leaning towards the Batmobile. But,
yeah, I think
so. Yeah. We then heard from Richie O'Hara Beamont at Rickety OB, and he said, these two suggestions are from my wife, Siobhan, the Nautilus and Red Dwarf. Red Ooh. Dwarf would be cool. Yeah.
Oh, Fractures is back. He said, the V8 Interceptor, Batmobile, the A-Team van, the Batmobile, Batmobile kit, Batmobile Lobo space bike, Batmobile Battle Cat. Is Battle Cat a vehicle?
More of a steed.
It's like, an animal.
It's a living being that you ride on. Sure, it's not a vehicle.
A saddle, but it's not a vehicle.
Sure, there were plenty of vehicles in the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
Battle Cat ain't one of them.
My favorite vehicle is the horse or the camel.
Oh, dear. Oh, we heard from Will Fish again, at Will Fish, and he said, my youngest answered with the DeLorean from Back to the Future. Yes, nice one, Fish Jr., nice one.
We heard from Martin Gray, at Mark Gray, and he said, the Flying Batcave, and he included a picture of this giant, ugly-looking helicopter that's apparently the Flying Batcave from an old Batman comic.
That's a bit out there, but kind of unexpected. I mean, Batman's got all sorts of weird vehicles.
Yeah.
Andy Macon at Andy INDK. I think this is the first time we've heard from Andy.
Maybe. I think he has tweeted one or two before, but
okay.
Not very often.
Let's welcome him again regardless.
Hello.
And Andy said the Fireball XL5.
Ah, the classic Gerry Anderson Fireball.
Ah, right. I have a frame of reference now. Yes.
Yes. We heard from Warlord Worlds, Ruth and Darren, and they said...
Sullivans, as you call them.
The Fighting Sullivans. Sutherlands.
Sutherlands, sorry. It's close. It's late.
Yeah. They said, or maybe one of them said, or both of them said, we can never tell, Wonder Woman's Invisible Plane. I think they both said it. They tend to be on the same page a lot.
Mm, yeah.
And they're not fighting. So, yeah, that would be cool.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Awkward. I mean, it'd be. I always think taking my kids around in the invisible plane would be pretty horrific because it'd just be full of McDonald's, you know, boxes and things.
Right. So you'd want the plane and the pit crew to help keep it clean.
Yeah. Or just no kids. No kids would be good.
Right. Okay. Cash Flag, aka Al at Rebus02, said, I would love a TARDIS, but if I can't, then I want Serenity.
Oh, another vote for a TARDIS and Serenity.
Popular. Yeah.
Coffee and Comics, Clinton Robson, Coffee and Comics blog. He said he'd wished for an efficient automobile. Is that fictional in his life? Also, probably a Batmobile, the TARDIS, and the Legion Time Bubble.
Mm.
Time Bubble's another semi-see-through vehicle.
Yeah. Bobgar Onellis at Slermo said... they all suck except for this one. And he provided us with a picture of the Thanos copter. Right. Well, what a shame that doesn't get used more in current Marvel settings.
Well, I like that you know it's Thanos' copter because it's got Thanos written on it.
Yeah, and he's controlling it as well, so clearly the Thanos copter.
I wonder if he's got any other vehicles with his name written on the side. The Thanos bike.
The Thanos sub.
We heard from the lovely Saul Bishop at Saul Bishop, and he said the bug, which is Blue Beetle's motor transport, the flying bug vehicle. Yeah, cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, everyone wants a vehicle with legs.
Bud A at Arbud F09. His response for the question of the week was the 1966 Batmobile, of course. For years, I refused to read Batman comics because they could not get the car right.
Wow.
Wow, that's pretty specific.
That is a head-turning vehicle if you drive that one around.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah.
We heard from Rifty at Rift1821, and he said, without a doubt, the best vehicle ever is the White Star from Babylon 5. Such an amazing design. Fast, organic, auto repairs, heaps of firepower. And then he said, other faves, the Skull One from Robotech, Madmobile from Inspector Gadget, the Dropship from Aliens, the Voltron Lions, and the Cylon Raider from New Battlestar Galactica, and Wheeljack, which is just a lame Transformer.
But that's funny that Will Fish also nominated Wheeljack.
Yeah, what is it about Wheeljack?
I don't know.
Hmm. We'll never know.
Wordplay. Returning back to the Facebook page for a minute, we heard from Cliff Steele, and Cliff said, no contest, the DMC-12 with Mr. Fusion technology, and provided us a shot of the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Yeah. Nice. Mm. Yeah, that's a nice shot too.
Yeah.
We have from Jared Driscoll also on Facebook, and he said, the Fantastic Four's Pogo Jet, just for the name alone. I didn't know they had a Pogo Jet.
Yeah, it's kind of that, I think... It's the weird kind of bathtub-shaped thing.
Is that it? It sounds like that's it.
Oh, no, that might be the Fantastic Car.
That's the Fantastic Car. Oh. It's the Pogo Jet. It's Stephen Lacey, help.
We'll Google it later. It's fine. All right, Paul, what's your favorite fictional vehicle?
Thunderbird 2.
Which one was Thunderbird 2?
Thunderbird 2 is the green one, which has the pod inside that drops out, and then you can have another vehicle inside. And inside, I'd probably want a Batmobile. So Thunderbird 2, fly that around, drop the pod on the ground, drive out in my Batmobile.
Would it be the 66 Batmobile, though?
Yeah, it's hard to go past that one, but I don't know if it'd have a good stereo, so... Maybe I'd need a more modern Batmobile. I do very much like the one that Norm Brayfogle designed in the 80s.
Ah, okay, yes.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, that'd be good. I reckon you could just park it wherever you want. You could just drop your pod out. You could crush whatever cars were around, open the hatch, drive out your Batmobile, and then shut the hatch. Yeah, and then drive back when you're done and get the hatch open and drive in.
Yep.
Yeah, and then...
It'll be a breeze to do your shopping.
It would be. Just need Thunderbird 2 to come back, pick it up, and you're out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. What about you, Mike?
I'm going to have to go with the Veritech fighter from Robotech, the Skull One Robotech vehicle that Rifty also referred to. These were the fantastic fighter jets that could transform into giant robots or have a hybrid form, which was basically like a jet with legs and arms. They were so cool. And they helped defend the Earth from the Zentradi. And I love those vehicles.
I love the half-half mode just because you've got a plane that can punch things.
Yeah, that's right. Something in your way, turn into Guardian mode and go Cliff Steel on their ass.
It could probably clap its hands and Irish dance as well.
Probably could. But yeah, that's...
Not as cool when you're doing that, though.
No, not quite. Probably a bit more destructive as well, depending on where your vehicle is placed when you're doing it. But yeah, they were so awesome when I first saw them as a kid. I still love them now. They were like Transformers, but not Transformers. You know, they were off in their own whole thing. And yeah, they were just really cool. And I would gladly fly one of them anywhere, or walk one of them anywhere. You know,
to the shops.
To the to the shops and then go, what's that Thunderbird doing over there?
Oh, you're here too.
Oh, fancy that. Let's go have a coffee.
Yeah. We should take him to the drive-in, see a movie.
Oh, wow. That'd be cool. Do you think we'd get honked at and other people would flash their lights at us? Because we'd be in the way.
Good times.
Good times. Anyway, I think we've reached the end of the show.
Yeah, I think it's time to stop this, isn't it?
It's time to stop the silliness, yes, and sign off for now. Next week on the show, we are not going to have a question of the week due to shenanigans that are going on. We'll be question of the week free. But I am going to say, I enjoyed Martin Gray's question of the week that he sent in a few episodes ago. So if you've got anything that you would like to submit for a question of the week, email it in at waitingfordoom@gmail.com.
Yes, we will use it because sometimes we're scraping the bottom trying to think of a question of the week.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say, you know, we welcome diversity or something. But sure, let that cat out of the bag. Good one.
I've been doing 80-something of these so far. And
yeah,
I'm quite impressed when I come up with a new one, everyone.
Right. But next week, in terms of covering the Doom Patrol, we are going to have a slight diversion in that we're going to look at a story that involves the Doom Patrol and the Teen Titans.
Yes, it's a very groovy story.
Very groovy. So until then, you can reach out to us, if you wish, on Twitter, at WFDpod. Say hi to Wilfred. As I said, you can email us always at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. You can also reach us on the Waiting for Doom Facebook page. And you can get in touch with us and Doug, Webmaster Supreme, at his excellent blog, which is mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com. And that's us for another week. Thank you again, Paul.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us. And we'll catch you next time for more Waiting for Doom.
Yeah.